Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And here we go, a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us again today. And a reminder, we do this each weekday, 11 o'clock. You can often catch the replay in the 3 o'clock hour as well. We've started off each show this week with some sort of recruiting news of interest, and I think we've got some big news locally, somewhat, just a scholarship offer, but it's a local player and a local school, and it's not Indiana. But yesterday, Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek, he was on an unofficial visit at the University of Louisville, and Chris Mack and the Cardinals send him home with a scholarship offer to add to his growing list. Of course, Indiana and Purdue and others, including Cincinnati earlier in the week, actually over the weekend, with a scholarship offer for Trey Kaufman. But the list continues to grow, and we've got some real recruiting battles with some young players, and as things unfold and as schools eventually get eliminated and lists get trimmed down, Indiana and Louisville going after a number of the same players if you look at some of the targets, even in the 2020 class, but specifically some younger players, Christian Lander in 2021, others as well, some, of course, 2022 players like Trey Kaufman also. But that's kind of the news of the day, the recruiting stuff this time of year, lots of scholarship offers from to the young guys, the underclassmen, and, of course, a lot of recruiting decisions as far as lists being cut and finalists being named and announcements being set for the class of 2020, guys, those that are now the upperclassmen as far as seniors for this upcoming year of high school basketball. So no surprise, Trey Kaufman, another prospect. You could add him to the list of Christian Lander from down at Evansville Wrights and also Caleb First way up in Fort Wayne at Blackhawk Christian school, that those guys continue to see their recruiting soar. And really, you get the feeling with those three guys specifically, and I've said this about Lander and First, and I want to say this now about Kaufman as well, but you really get the feeling that their recruiting is kind of taking on another level. Getting that first Division I scholarship offer for Kaufman was a really big deal. Getting IU, obviously, and other in-state schools, a really big deal. Now seeing his interest from schools not just be the state of Indiana, not just be the Midwest, going to be interesting to see where this young man lands up as far as what types of schools ultimately get into his recruiting in addition to Indiana and Louisville and the others. And, of course, it'll be interesting down the road to see ultimately where he chooses to play college basketball. But big stuff for Trey Kaufman, and another reason locally that I think we are set for just an absolute great year as school getting back in session almost everywhere. I think some schools just now getting underway today and maybe a couple early next week. But with that happening, with school back in session, there's no reason to not be really excited about the 2019-2020 high school season. I know the Romeo years were great. The crowds were great. It was a great time for this show. It was so fun to follow all of that, the games, and then, of course, the recruitment, and then he went to Indiana, and it was just like a perfect buildup for everything locally. But I really feel like that those that maybe became enthused with the high school game during the Romeo years shouldn't give up on it. It's going to be really good for the next number of years. There are some great players, a number of deep Division I players in our area that I thought had great summers at a number of different schools that will make this season specifically, and even the future is bright beyond these next class or two for high school talent here in the area. So Trey Kaufman, though, he's at the top and going to be one of the most exciting players to follow and see ultimately how things go for him. But a big offer to add to the list locally. That's a big deal locally because Silver Creek is just miles away from the University of Louisville campus. And so obviously Louisville going to heat up this recruiting with Indiana trying to keep Kauffman in state. Louisville could, you know, claim in state basically as well, just across the river. So very close connection there. Will be interesting to see how all this plays out. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got a few Hoosier headlines for you, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We got some recruiting stuff. Trace Jackson Davis is back at it on Twitter again, trying to recruit Anthony Leal to a decision on Friday. I'll tell you about that. Also, Evansville Ballsy underclassman Kyron Powell, who is somebody to pay attention to down at Evansville for the next few years. He made a college commitment yesterday. We'll tell you who he chose, the NCAA with some new rules for agents, and will there be a team, an IU alumni team, in the basketball tournament? That's that $2 million tournament that had an outstanding championship game last night for $2 million on the line. A team of Ohio State alumni won it last night, and we'll see if we can get an Indiana team together. There's some talk among players on social media that perhaps that could happen. Also in the headlines today, we'll cover Silver Creek Little League. Their dream for Williamsport, it came to an end yesterday in a loss, but they still had an outstanding summer, and we'll tell you all about that coming up here in just a little bit. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham. Segment two, we'll have Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. We'll talk Anthony Leal, of course. We'll get Jeff's read on what he predicts will happen, although I don't know that anybody is really positive. I know a lot of the crystal ball predictions obviously have Indiana as ultimately where Anthony Leal's going to pick, but we'll see what Jeff has to say about that, and we'll set the tone on his recruitment, his final few days of this recruitment before he makes his decision or announces his decision on Friday night. We'll also talk some other recruiting notes. Want to talk a little Trey Kauffman with Jeff today. Jeff had a chance to track Trey in the summer as well, as a lot of the college coaches were sitting courtside to watch him. So we'll talk some about him. And Jeff's been at some football practices. In fact, I believe he's going to join us from IU football practice today. So if you hear some warning sirens and Coach Allen screaming on the bullhorn like he did earlier this week when Zach Osterman was with us, you'll know what's going on. But Jeff will be with us. And then I'm excited later in the program. I know a lot of people are interested in Anthony Leal, and we've had Anthony on, and we've talked all about his recruitment, and I've done the best I can to kind of relay what I know about things, his game and his, you know, recruitment, and breaking it down between Indiana and Stanford. So I thought, you know, heading into Friday, when he's going to make his decision, and we don't know if it's going to be Friday morning, Friday night, Friday during the day. I don't even know if it's going to be an announcement or just a simple social media post. But today, to talk more about Anthony Leal, if there's anybody that can share more than what other people have on this program, it would be the legendary Bloomington South coach, J.R. Holmes. And he's going to join us a little bit later in the program. First day of school today up in Bloomington at Bloomington South. And so I really appreciate Coach Holmes coming on with us today. We're going to talk more about Anthony Leal as a player. We're going to talk more about Anthony Leal as a kid as well, and see if we can get some details on Friday's announcement from Coach Holmes when he joins us a little bit later in the program. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. You can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham. Real quick, before we get into our headlines, don't forget High School Football Media Day for 2019 Clark and Floyd County High School football teams. There's 8 programs that play football, 8 schools in our area, and along with the News and Tribune, the Big X team, we're going to bring you full coverage, full preseason coverage of all the teams Thursday night from 6 to 8:30 at Zaxby's, their location in Jeffersonville at 5430 East Highway 62. 6 o'clock is when we'll come on. We'll start with Providence. We'll go to Rock Creek. Then it's Jeffersonville, followed by Charlestown. Silver Creek will start things off in the 7 o'clock hour. Clarksville will be next. Floyd Central will close the 7 o'clock hour, and then we'll finalize things with New Albany and then put a close with a preview of Week 1 games as we head to 8:30. But we're going to do that Thursday. It's a 2.5-hour marathon program. Lee Kelly will be with us. Craig Pearson, he's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. There'll be some other activities going on that the News and Tribune will use to preview high school football for this year. Some photos and some videos will come from the night as well. It'll be a podcast, so if you can't listen or you can't listen to the whole thing, you can go back and listen to it on demand as a podcast. But we'd love to have you there at Zaxby's on Highway 62. Come by during the time of your favorite school, or come by for the whole thing. We'd love to have you in the studio audience at Zaxby's on Highway 62 in Jeffersonville. I've been tweeting out and posting on our Facebook page the schedule for the night, so you can know approximately when we think each school's coach and key players will join us. So if there's a specific school, you might log on and check it out so you could be there for that. But we would love to have you with us. It's going to be a fun night. We're going to get completely set for the high school football season. And really, as much fun as we have talking to all the coaches, and there's some new ones we need to get to know, and the top players, the key players in the area, it's really a good learning opportunity for me, because I'm going to be here in studio every Friday night anchoring our high school football coverage as we go across the area to get live look-ins at different games. And as we have play-by-play from some of the key games each night, we'll have call-in reports and scores and all sorts of things going on, kind of like an NFL red zone type coverage on the radio. But really, this show is kind of a big educational piece for me to get ready for the season. So for many reasons, looking forward to it, and hope you can join us at Zaxby's in Jeffersonville Thursday night from 6 to 8:30 for the 2019 High School Football Media Day in Clark and Floyd County. All right, now let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. I mentioned Trey Kaufman getting the Louisville offer. That's obviously the big deal today. But Trace Jackson Davis, he's been the key recruiter, even though that he's a freshman now for Indiana and still hasn't played a game for the Hoosier program. But he took to Twitter. I had to share this with you for those of you that don't get on social media or don't have that sort of thing. He tweeted yesterday, and this was directed, obviously, to Anthony Leal when it was announced that he's going to make his decision on Friday. In all capital letters, Trace tweeted, "Friday, Friday, Friday. What a better day to be a Hoosier. Good luck with your decision, my boy, but you know what we want." He followed that up with some red and white circles, of course, representing Indiana. So Trace Jackson Davis continues to be one of the more verbal recruiters that I have seen as far as a current recruit, existing player now, trying to recruit guys right behind him from the state of Indiana that obviously he knows well. He's worked out with Anthony Leal. He's played with and against Anthony Leal in different events over the years, and he is trying to put a final push on him to make sure he becomes a Hoosier on Friday when he announces his destination. Also, another recruiting note, I mentioned Kyron Powell from Evansville Ballsy. A lot of our local schools play Ballsy, and of course Silver Creek and Ballsy, both 3A teams. That could be a good battle in the state tournament in future seasons, with both of those teams having a lot of good players. But Powell, I thought he was an underclassman. He's a senior, so he just has 1 year left of high school basketball. Seems like he was younger than that, but he made his college decision yesterday. He had a lot of mid-major interest, and I want to say upper mid-major interest, but also some high-major schools as well. Kansas State, Western Kentucky, Creighton, and also the school he committed to was Houston, which, of course, is former IU coach Kelvin Sampson, where he is at. But Houston, according to multiple reports out there, has been all over Powell for many years now, and he made his decision yesterday, announcement at Evansville Ballsy High School. And neat to see that another player from Southern Indiana, I know it's Southern Indiana, but an hour and a half or more to our west, but gosh, there's a number of Division I level recruits and commits and prospects from the 2020 class all the way down. And Powell is going to be another name to watch and follow for Evansville Ballsy this coming season when he takes on some of our local teams. Also, this is just a quick note, but yesterday the NCAA released new rules via a memo Monday to all agents that outlines some certification requirements if they're going to represent players that are testing NBA draft waters. You know, this is one of the things that changed
with the Rice Commission that was recommended that players testing the water can actually have communication with agents and still retain college eligibility. And I'm kind of interested in this. I don't really have an opinion just yet, but the memo, which ESPN got a copy of and wrote about, the criteria in the memo was basically this. Agents that are going to deal with players testing NBA waters, they got to have A, a bachelor's degree, B, they have to be certified for at least 3 consecutive years by the NBA Players Association, which I don't see anything wrong with that either, professional liability insurance, and completion of an in-person exam taken at the NCAA office in early November, which is in Indianapolis, of course. So I really don't see the big deal. A bachelor's degree, that's fairly standard for somebody that you would think would be doing that kind of work. A lot of agents not only have a bachelor's degree, but have a legal or a law degree as well. The NBA Players Association certification sounds like something pretty standard, and you've got to have a good reputation there, 3 consecutive years of that certification. Liability insurance and an in-person exam at the NCAA office, probably just to make sure you understand the NCAA side of the rules and the laws. I didn't make a big deal of it out of it, but I guess that the agent that represents LeBron James, I think Ben Simmons, Draymond Green, and I think Anthony Davis, too, his name is Rich Paul. He must not have a bachelor's degree. He's an agent. And so LeBron James and others taking to Twitter to say that the NCAA is making this, quote, the Rich Paul rule to try to keep him from influencing or getting involved with maybe some of the college talent that's testing NBA waters. I'm not sure that the NCAA considered which agents have and don't have bachelor's degrees when making this rule. But to me, some standard rules make sense for somebody that's going to deal with a college kid that still may have some eligibility. But interesting to see that some professional players and other agencies even making statements, this is a big deal to them. So don't know that anything will change. Normally when the NCAA puts something out, even like some of the debacle stuff that happened in July with the recruiting camps, it normally doesn't change. And if it does change, it's very slow to change. But still, it's interesting to see that LeBron James, of all players, professional player, and other agencies and players speaking out against it as well. One other note, love the $2 million tournament. I know some of you don't care about it. It's not a college thing. It's not a high school thing. But some of you have said, hey, Matt, you talk about that a lot. In fact, we had the guy on that founded it, I think last summer or the year before on the program, right before the tournament got underway. And it wasn't near as popular a few years ago as what I feel like it is right now. But the championship game of the bracket was last night. A team named Carmen's Crew, which is basically, or it is, an Ohio State alumni team, they won last night. They came out of the Columbus, Ohio Regional and advanced through the tournament. They got to the Final Four of the championship game. They are loaded with some great Ohio State players. Let me tell you a couple of them. Jared Solinger, Deshaun Thomas, Evan Turner. Those are some names that stand out on their roster. Also, Scooney Penn involved with the team as well. I think he was more the GM. He was not a player. Aaron Kraft also on the roster, but a really good lineup. Is what I'm getting at. They won it last night. When is there going to be a true effort at an IU basketball alumni team put together to try to win $2 million? You could drive yourself crazy trying to think of the different people you could find to put on the team that are still in great shape, that are still playing basketball at a competitive level. Unlikely you're going to get the NBA guys. We understand that. But Christian Watford, he tweeted out late last night after the thrilling end to the championship game, or I should say not the thrilling end, but a thrilling game overall. Yo, IUBB, hashtag, when are we getting an alumni team next year for the tournament? Of course, a lot of fans, I think it had 1.7, or I guess it would be 1,700 likes, and a lot of interaction there with fans and others that think that's a great idea. Would be really cool this time of year when there's, you know, there's recruiting stuff to talk about. There's plenty to get us through the day. College football is just around the corner. But to have an IU alumni team every year in the $2 million tournament, I think would be really cool. And I think IU fans would greatly get behind that, as basketball crazy as we all are here in the Hoosier State. Also, a quick shout-out to Silver Creek. They won their first game on Sunday, a big, memorable win in thrilling fashion over Hamilton Westside, the Ohio State champion. And since that point, it's not went very good. They were absolutely outplayed by Bowling Green East, the Kentucky State champion, to go into the consolation bracket. And then they lost 15-0 to the Wisconsin State champion yesterday. It was a shortened game because of the spread of the score. Their summer comes to an end, but what a ride it has been. It was so fun to follow the Silver Creek Little League team to the state tournament. It was just a great showing from them. They were very competitive and obviously won the state championship. We had some great moments covering their games and a great group of young men that was fun to follow. So even though it didn't turn out their way in the Great Lakes Regional and they weren't able to get to Williamsport, Pennsylvania, still a great ride for them, and they represented Southern Indiana and, of course, their Sellersburg community very well. They'll look back on this, maybe not right this moment, but they'll look back on this summer and some of these memories and cherish them for the rest of their life. Just fun, fun stuff, and they did it the right way, no question. So hats off to the coaches and to the players. A job well done they did for their community and for Southern Indiana as well. That's a look at the headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Coming up next, Jeff Rabjohns of Pegs.com. We'll talk Anthony Leal. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll talk some IU football as Jeff is live from practice when we come back. And then later, more Anthony Leal. Let's find out more about him as a player and as a young man as well. We'll do so with J.R. Holmes, the longtime legendary coach of Bloomington South and the boys basketball program there. That's all still ahead on a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back. Jeff Rabjohns of Pegs.com is with us on this Wednesday program. And, Jeff, I think you're coming to us from Bloomington and the IU football practice. So let's start with football for just a moment. It's hard to believe that the football season is nearing. IU and Ball State will take place later this month in Indianapolis. I know that you and Matt Weaver and Mike Pegram and the Pegs.com team has had some opportunities here recently to get a look at this football team and some of the open practice sessions that Coach Allen always has for media. And what's your early take on things as we approach the start of the 2019 college football campaign?
Well, I think there are four things that kind of jump out the most right away. And sorry for the noise in the background. We actually are here on the, as practice is going on. So you'll hear a few of the announcements and the horn and the whistles and all that. But I think four things jump out the most. I think first line is the quarterback battle. Peyton Ramsey comes in as the incumbent, but he's going to get a real challenge from Michael Penix and Jack Tuttle. Penix, obviously, I think people will call a guy who played some last year, suffered an ACL injury. He's back, looks fully healthy, is only wearing the normal brace that quarterbacks nowadays wear on their plant leg. He has no other apparatus on his leg, so he looks really good. He's obviously got tremendous velocity on his passes. That's one thing that jumps out a lot there. And same thing with Jack Tuttle. He's got that velocity that you just look at and you see, you know, you can just tell the difference in the speed of the ball, whether they're short passes that really thud when they hit or the long stuff that just gets there really quickly. So I think that kind of jumps out. Number two, I think it's pretty clear the strongest position group is the secondary. There's so many guys back there that have playmaking ability and have big-time speed. You know, with Andre Brown and A'shaun Riggins, Brian Fitzgerald, those guys. Tywan Mullen is a freshman who's already made some plays. He's got big-time speed. He's only a freshman, so you look at him as a guy probably, well, he might not start. He's certainly gonna get some playing time, you would think. And then I think, you know, another thing, third probably is the running backs. You've got multiple guys with Stevie Scott, Ronnie Walker, Samson James, and Cole Guest, who all have the ability to be playmakers coming out of the backfield. Stevie Scott, obviously, he's coming off a big season. He's probably the best of the group. Cole Guest is now healthy. He's had a couple runs already where he's been able to plant, turn the corner, and he's gone. And it's kind of like, ooh, okay. And then the other thing is, I think you look at the receiving group. You know, you got bigger guys like Donovan Hale. You got speedy, smaller guys like Wap Fillier. You've got just a variety of guys who can go out there who have pretty good ball skills, who can make plays catching the ball down the field. And if there was one area where you could point to for IU last year offensively and say it just has to get better, I think it's throwing the ball down the field. You just have, in today's college football, you have to be able to throw the ball down the field. And IU's got the receivers to do that. They've got running backs to keep teams honest. And now you've got a couple quarterbacks who can really throw the ball down the field.
Dang, Jeff, that was a heck of a thumbnail sketch, man. That's good stuff, compacted into just a couple minutes there. Everybody wants to know this, and I admit I do not study IU football or talk about IU football outside of some conversations with you and a few other guests. And, of course, Matt Weaver starts to join us this time of year for a lot more in-depth conversations on the football program. And occasionally in the offseason, Matt and I will talk about some big recruiting scores for Coach Allen or where things stand from a recruiting perspective. But so I guess when I talk football a month out from the season, I'm asking pretty much general questions. So the diehard IU football fan may know a lot more than what I'm going to ask you here. But that said, everybody wants to know, including the general football people like me, is a bowl game possible for this IU football team? Is a bowl game likely for this IU football team? At this early part of the season, of fall camp even, what are your early prediction on a bowl game for this team?
Yeah, it's legitimately a possibility. This team is good enough to get to a bowl game. The strengths that we just talked about are the other reasons you have a chance to get to a bowl game. The quarterback play is going to have to be good. He's going to have to throw the ball down the field. Again, last 10, 12 years, there have been so many rule changes that just amplify the positive things that happen when you throw the ball down the field. The quarterback play is going to matter. I think the biggest area of concern for IU right now is defensive line. The secondary is good. Linebackers are solid. And then they've got some guys like Marcelino Ball and Brian Fitzgerald, who kind of like, okay, you can call them safeties if you want, but they come up and play and run support. So that area is solid, but defensive line, I think, is the area of the biggest concern right now. They got to get some pass rushers, some guys who can really play. Got a couple guys coming back who are solid, but they're going to need to improve. But the kid they got out of Florida, his first name is Sio, S-I-O. I'm not going to attempt his last name. It's very long, and I have not mastered it. I promise, week two, I'm going to get it right. But I don't want to mess it up because I actually want to get it right. Sio, S-I-O, big, 6 foot, 4, I think is what they're listing him as. He's every bit of that, like 327 pounds. And watch some of the defensive line drills today. He's got just this big body that moves. You know those guys who you look at and you go, okay, that's a big guy, but how could he possibly move all that weight? But their body just flows, and he actually has quickness and strength and leverage and balance. He's one of those guys. Again, can he start as a true freshman? I don't know about that. I guess, it's possible. I would say that's a long road. But he's one of those guys you look at and say he's going to have a chance. So those are the things that I think are the big question marks. And then obviously the schedule. As long as IU is in the Big Ten East, and the Big Ten East is structured the way it is, it's going to be tough. You got to win your non-conference games. They've got 3 non-conference games that you can win. And I was talking with a couple of high school football coaches. They brought this up, and they said, 12 years ago, before division, before when teams could play 4 non-conference games instead of 3, and when you didn't have division, a couple of football coaches told me, this is a 7-win team they had down in Indiana under the old schedule. And I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? You're right. So under the old setup, this probably is a 7-win football team. But you got to play in the Big Ten East. You only get to play 3 non-conference games instead of 4, so it's tougher. I think this is a team, when it says they want to get to a bowl game, they do have a chance to get there. They've got enough talent. They're starting to get enough experience as well. Because experience is good, but if it's not talented, experience is not good enough. Talent is good, but if there's not enough experience, that's not enough. You've got to have both. And they're to the point this year, they have a legitimate chance to get this experience to get to a bowl game.
Absolutely. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, talking some IU football. And he's at practice. Again, if you hear some sirens or announcements and things. It's Coach Allen and the coaches directing things around at practice. Let's transition into some basketball stuff. And before I ask you this first question about Anthony Leal, who's going to make a decision on Friday, let me tell the listeners that coming up after Jeff, we have J.R. Holmes of Bloomington South, who will join us to talk a little bit more about Anthony as a player and as a person, and from that perspective, as his recruiting draws to a close. But everybody wants to know, Jeff, is the obvious favorite here, if you look at it on paper, the hometown school. Do you think Indiana's going to be in the driver's seat to get the announcement, to get the nod from Anthony on Friday?
I mean, my prediction has been Indiana for a while now, and I haven't seen anything, you know, any strong reason to change it just yet. But I will say, you know, people need to realize, I think you and I have talked about this a little bit, you know, he is serious about Stanford, and he has looked at what a Stanford education does for a person. Stanford does a really good job of promoting things, like the average person who has a degree, you know, undergraduate and graduate in business from Stanford, here's your average income after 5 years, here's your average income after 10, after 15. You start talking about making 300 grand plus when you're in your 40s, and for somebody who understands his lifetime earnings are not going to come, his significant lifetime earnings are not going to come from basketball, that gets your attention. Some of the stuff that I saw, it got my attention, and I'm a grown-up. And so I can only imagine the impact that has on somebody who's 16, 17, 18 years old. So I think the people who say, well, if I was picking, I'd play for IU all day, every day. Sure, you know, I mean, any IU fan's going to pick IU. That's obvious. But, you know, I think people need to understand that Stanford does have some things that are notable. I think people need to properly evaluate that. Now, again, my prediction's been Indiana for a while. I haven't seen any reason to change it, but we'll see what he, you know, exactly what he announces on Friday.
Jeff, let's talk about Anthony with what you've seen, and you've seen him all throughout the summer just as much probably as the IU coaches have over the last couple of months and opportunities when they could be out on the road and view him. What's the best trait he has, the best skill he has right now as far as a college basketball player, somebody coming into the Big Ten Conference if he chooses IU Friday?
His best skill is being able to find spots to make shots and then make those shots. Some guys can make what I call, what college coaches call high school shots. That is, okay, you're wide open, you get the catch and take a bounce, look at the rim, you know, wave at your mom, wave at your girlfriend, then take the shot. Okay. In college, the windows between catch and release have to be a lot shorter. The opportunities for getting open are a lot shorter. And what Anthony does is he knows how to move to find shots and can make those shots. Out there, I was out in L.A. a couple of weeks ago for the Viva Scotland finale, and he made 17 threes in a three-game span, 19 threes in a four-game span, and he was playing against some very good teams, Compton Magic, D1 Minnesota, Mass Rivals, teams like that, all of which, Garner Roach, guys like that, people who are going to major college programs. So when you make shots against legitimate length and speed and quickness, guys who can know how to, you know, move towards you when the ball's coming and they close out quickly, when you're making shots in those settings, that's really instructive. And I thought that was probably one of the best weeks he's had. He's had some other weeks that were good, but that was probably the best. And I think the other thing is, you know, he's so underrated as a passer because he understands when to make certain passes and when not to, and he doesn't throw risky passes. He's not out there gambling. But he actually does know, he's got really good anticipation. He threw seven alley-oops to Trey Galloway in their games out there in L.A., and all of them were on point, and they were thrown up high to where your guy's going to go get it. And so the pass, the three of them were with Anthony Steele bringing the ball up court, and without stopping, you know, he flicks it up there, and it's really on point. So I think passing is also a really good skill of his. And the other thing is, you know, he just understands what are you trying to get, you know, this game, or even this possession. Okay, they just took the big out. We're gonna go inside here to hit a left center. Or hey, you know, they got the big in there, so we're gonna flash post, but then we're gonna run, you know, get it out, or we're gonna go stagger and flip it, you know, and try to get me or Trey Galloway or one of the other guys, you know, open Trey Coleman for a three. He just really understands what you're trying to get. So those are the things that I think help out the most about him as far as things that are likely gonna be his college impacts.
Jeff Rapp, johnspeaks.com. And, Jeff, we're having a little problem here, and I don't know if you're talking through an earpiece or what, but it's almost like
is that a little better?
A lot better, a lot better. Now back okay. back normal. But continuing on about Anthony Leal, just one final thing. Obviously, he has a body. That's one thing I look at, and I think mm-hmm. you touched on this, but he has a body that, especially an upper body, that looks Big Ten ready, especially for a guy that just now is entering his senior year. I think school starts today at Bloomington South, and he's got even more time to work on that, and I know improve that. But already a body, if you look at him, I mean, he's got an impressive upper body build that what it takes to come in as a freshman and an underclassman even in the Big Ten and compete.
That's a great point, because strength is something that's required to compete for playing time and actually get playing time, and then actually when you get on the court to do something. Strength is really important, especially on defense, because some of defense is quickness, but some of it also is properly positioning yourself and then being able to engage against an offensive player and keep him from going through you, by you, occasionally disrupting his timing, disrupting his route. Strength is a really big thing, and it's a little bit underrated sometimes on the perimeter. Maybe one of the best examples, as far as an example, IU fans would recall, the way Rob Phinisee defended Cassius Winston the last 4 or 5 minutes of IU's victory over Michigan State there at Assembly Hall. There were times Cassius Winston would drive, but Phinisee was strong enough not to let him. When Cassius Winston would turn and start going toward the baseline, Tennessee was strong enough to not let him make that other turn and go toward the rim. He just pushed him wide. And being able to do that is partly all about strength. And that's something that Anthony Leal has. He's not going to be the fastest guy in the world. He's not going to be, the absolute quickest as far as footwork. But he's quick enough. And that strength does allow a player to be, more impactful on defense. And that is something that I think is going to help him, because if you're going to play for Archie Miller, you're going to play defense, so you're going to go sit on the bench and spend some time just watching. So I think the fact that he has strength, and it's only going to get better, and he's also got a really good frame. A lot of guys have some strength, but the frame, you look at it and you go, okay, they're about maxed out. Leal's got a frame where he can continue to add strength. He can be a pretty strong guy as far as a guard at the Power 5 level.
Jeff Rapp, johnspeaks.com. Great stuff on Anthony Leal. And, again, Coach Holmes of Bloomington South coming up in the next segment. We'll talk even more about Anthony and his upcoming decision on Friday. One other question, Jeff, before we let you go. As far as recruiting goes in the 2020 class, if things work out for Anthony Leal and IU, that would put two in-state guys, perhaps maybe the top two players in the 2020 class, in the IU fold and continue Archie Miller's great streak of inside-out, in-state recruiting. What would be next as far as a need for this team? Yesterday I talked some on the program with Mike Pegram about maybe the other targets that are nearing decisions, whether that be Matt Cross or someone else out of state potentially. But as far as needs, when you look at who IU has now and what Trey Galloway and potentially Anthony Leal bring in the 2020 class, if that all gets to be a done deal, what would be the next really need you would see Indiana approach with recruiting, whether it be 2020 class to finish out that class or to add to that class or maybe even focus on in younger grades?
Yeah, I think the things that they need toughness in a bigger guy, at least a forward. It doesn't have to be a post player, but it needs to be a bigger guy. And that's why I think Archie Miller loves Matt Cross so much. He's talking about 6'7", toughness, knows how to rebound, can actually score at all three levels. But his big thing is that is one tough, ornery dude. And I mean ornery in the most positive Michael Lewis-ish kind of way. So I think you do have to continue to add the toughness to the team. I think that's important. They'd like to add a big if possible, but they're not going to grab somebody just to grab somebody. They're not going to go get a Jeremiah April just to say, hey, look, we got a 7-footer. They're not going to do that. But there are some guys out there that they're, seriously taking a look at. But Matt Cross is the next guy in line as far as timing of decision. I think it'll be under a month, most likely, at least right now. It'll be under a month when Matt Cross makes his decision. So then you'll have a really good idea of, how many guards, how many forwards, who all does IU have and not have. As far as when you look to the younger classes, I think, the two guys you really look a lot at are Christian Lander from there in Evansville, Trey Kaufman from there in Silver Creek, and then Caleb First up in Fort Wayne. And those are the three headliners in-state in 2021. But, you know, there are some other guys out there, not only in the state, like Blake Wesley, J.R. Kinesevi. You got a kid named Jaden Taylor from Perry Meridian who's coming on. There's other guys in that 2021 class who are guys I look at and say, you know, this could be an Aaron Henry kind of thing. He might blow up and be Power 5 by the time it's all over. So I think you're going to see IU at least keep its eyes peeled for those guys. And then there's some other, you know, guys in 2020. You know, they just offered Javonte Brown-Ferguson, 6'11", 235-pound center, who's originally from Canada. He plays for the Canada Elite team on the Under Armour circuit. Right now he's playing high school basketball at Mount St. Joseph's in Baltimore, Maryland. But he's a Canadian kid they've kind of had their eyes on for a little while, and they decided to go ahead and make an offer. He's the kind of kid who really blew up over the summer, went from mid-major to clear high-major kind of guy. Indiana, Kansas, a number of other schools have made scholarship offers. There's even more that are looking at him and talking to him. So he's just kind of figuring out. But that's a guy to at least keep your eye on, guys like that, you know. And that's a kid who right now is in the 2021 class, again, talking about Javonte Brown-Ferguson, but he has the option to be 2020. And he's kind of figuring out what he wants to do right now. But there's certainly a possibility he goes to the 2020 class. So I think size on the front line, some toughness, those are the things you look at in 2020. And then 2021, I think you've got to really continue to add. You got to add some ball handling. Doesn't necessarily have to be true point guard per se, but, you know, needs to be somebody who's got quickness and really good ball handling, a Christian Lander type. Obviously for IU would be, you know, it'd be ideal, an in-state kid who is at the five-star level. So those are the things I think you look at as far as what's next.
Jake, great stuff. Jeff Rabjohn's live at IU football practice, a lot of recruiting, some football today as well. Jeff, as always, thanks for the chat. We'll let you finish up at football practice and look forward to your coverage from there later today.
Sounds great, man. Appreciate it, Matt.
Always good to have Jeff Rabjohn's with us on Wednesdays. We'll head to a quick break. We'll come back with J.R. Holmes, the coach, longtime coach of Bloomington South. He's going to join us to talk about Anthony Leal, who will decide Friday, as Jeff and I were talking, between IU and Stanford. We'll learn more about Anthony as a player and a person coming up next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Lots and lots of talk this week heading into Friday, which is when Anthony Leal of Bloomington South will make his college decision. He's down to two schools, hometown Indiana and high academic Stanford, and he'll make his decision sometime Friday. There obviously is a lot of interest from area fans and from IU fans about where this young in-state player is going to go. And as we talk with various people and IU media types every day, we try to learn more about him and find out predictions and the latest. And I thought, let's just go to one of the great sources with Anthony, and that is J.R. Holmes, the longtime coach of Bloomington South. In fact, he's entering his 38th year at Bloomington South, and this past season became Indiana's all-time winningest coach in high school basketball. Coach Holmes, you've been kind enough over the years to join us even around tournament time as we preview some of the big New Albany Bloomington South or Jeffersonville Bloomington South games. And before we even talk about Anthony today, one of your great players for this upcoming season, congratulations to you on just some unbelievable moments, I know, for you and your family and your coaches to celebrate. It's really an honor to have you with us today.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity, and you know, sometimes things go right, and if you stay long enough, the wind's mounted up. So I always tell people that this is because of two things. One, I'm old, and I've had great players and great coaches.
J.R. Holmes of Bloomington South, our guest joining us. And we're going to talk about Anthony Leal. Coach, I know that you had obviously a good year last year, and you had a very involved summer with your team as well as you guys start to get ready for the upcoming 2019-2020 season. And Anthony Leal is somebody that has really made an impact on your program the last few seasons as you guys have continued to have great success, really, as always. Can you talk, as his head coach at Bloomington South, how you've seen him mature on and off the floor in the past couple years leading up to this big senior campaign?
Well, I think it's always, like for anyone, it's a learning process for him. As a, he started his freshman year, about the January of his freshman year, he took over a starting position. He was first sub there for a while at the beginning of the season, and then we moved in. And his sophomore year, it found out that, you know, he was playing with Chance Coyle, who was our leading scorer, and he had a lot of more open looks and things to shoot because everybody was chasing Chance. And then as he matured and he's gotten stronger, last year he found out that he's the number one option for the other defense, and sometimes it was a little tougher for him. But I think I've seen a steady progression every year, probably especially more so with his strength. And then his game has been elevated from just a pure three-point shooter to a overall scorer with ability to drive and dunk and get to the free throw line more than he did his first couple of years.
We're talking with J.R. Holmes. He's the head coach at Bloomington South, coach of Anthony Leal, who will make his college decision on Friday. You know, a lot of times, Coach, and I know you've had to see this over the years, when a player commits to a college basketball program, especially one at the high major level and especially one in the physical Big Ten Conference, you think, gosh, he was really good for his high school team and he had a lot of great skills and he may very well develop into a great college player sooner rather than later. But you wonder sometime about a player's body and are they physically developed to handle that type of beating, really, that the Big Ten Conference and think about a team like Wisconsin or someone like that that you're going to face pretty much on a night-in, night-out basis. And that's one of the things about Anthony, even from his freshman year, but specifically now, you look at him and he's built. I mean, he is stacked upper body specifically. And do you agree, as far as a high school prospect, he maybe is one of the better bodies that's ready for that level of college basketball?
Well, that's a tough question because I was at the IU-Michigan State game and I came back the next day and I said, who in the world could you have guarded on Michigan State? Those are men. And I said, how could you have gotten your shot off? Because those guys just foul the crap out of you. They're so physical, the Big Ten is. And I think that's something, you know, when you look technically at Anthony, he's got another high school year. He may even have a redshirt year. I don't know for sure what they'll do wherever he goes to be able to play, if it's a Big Ten or the Pac-12, to be able to play as a sophomore, maybe as soon as they want him. Now, he may go in and, you know, in his mindset, yeah, I could guard anyone. Yeah, I could score, you know. Typical answer for most
sure.
Confident high school players. But that would be a big concern or something that I would look at as I look at his progression if he goes Big Ten route or even if he goes Pac-12 route, whichever one it is, they're men. You know, you're playing against sometimes even 22, 23, 24-year-old kid that's been redshirted through the years. And I think the biggest thing, that the jump from high school to college, is how much more physical it will be.
Absolutely. J.R. Holmes of Bloomington South, our guest. I know that you guys are gearing up for another big season at Bloomington South, and while we're focusing on Anthony today, it's always great to hear other players as well that maybe fans should watch and that will make your team competitive this year. But before we do that, can you talk some about Anthony's role this year? Obviously, he's going to be the big target of all the defenses that you play. Obviously, he's going to be your leader in many regards, if not across the board. But what specifically will you ask of him, maybe different from even last year when he took on a key role for your team?
Well, I think the biggest thing I've tried to talk with him all summer and trying to get – he got to a point where college coaches were saying, you got to do something besides shoot threes. And then he was passing up threes to drive and get himself in trouble sometimes in summer and a little bit out of control. And so we're trying to say, hey, if the play is set for you to shoot the three and you're open, you need to take that instead of driving in. That said, him driving in has created a lot more free throw opportunities, and being in a, you know, he was a, I forget, 70 or 82% free throw shooter as a sophomore, dropped to 72 last year. But he has to be more consistent. You know, he had some great games than last year. There's a few games that he didn't play as well. And if you're going to be the man, you can't have those bad nights. You can have an off night, but you got to, you know, instead of scoring 20, you might get 15 or 12. You can't go from 20 to 4. And so I think that's the biggest thing that you take on as the leader of the man on the offensive end, is that consistency that we're looking for him to be able to play most of the game. Now, he did that last year. I mean, he didn't have very many bad games, but there was most of our losses, he didn't shoot the ball as well. Now, that could have been the other team's defense. First game, a couple of teams, jitters at Edgewood and New Albany last year. So, you know, I think that's just some room for him to improve. He can improve on his free throw shooting. He can improve on his leadership ability in a positive manner, not in a critical manner. That when kids are struggling, you know, they look to him to see how he's handling things. So, you know, I think he's growing, and I think I saw some maturity talking to Chris Byers, watching him play out in L.A. and stuff. He played really well, and his demeanor was a lot better. Just play the game and let the officials alone and just not get upset when things are not going your direction. So, you know, little things, you know, when you're trying to find some kid that's played 4 years, you try to find little things like that that may have happened in one game or two game out of 28. So it's not a big improvement, but I'm looking for a little more consistency.
J.R. Holmes from Bloomington South, great stuff on Anthony Lille. This is something I wanted to ask you that's kind of just a general question about the Bloomington basketball community. You've been there for so many years. You've had lots of success, and you've had tons of players go on to play college basketball, even at the highest levels. You've had some go on to commit to Indiana. You've had some maybe spurn Indiana and go elsewhere for whatever reasons, or maybe they weren't recruited by Indiana very hard at all. What's the pressure like for a young man like Anthony that has played in your program for many years, has been a known commodity in the Bloomington community as far as a good basketball talent since he was young? What's the pressure on him to make the decision to go to IU on Friday and not go to Stanford, which he's considering those both as his final two?
Well, I told him, I said, you know what you have to do? When he called and told me he was going to commit this, I guess, what, two more days, Friday. And he said, you know, he's still making some decisions in his mind and stuff. I said, well, make a list of all the positives for Stanford and all the positives for IU, but then also list all the negatives for Stanford, the negatives for IU, such as maybe the distance is a negative. The parents don't get out there as much. Maybe a negative for IU is playing in your hometown is really hard. Almost playing in your home state is hard, but playing in your hometown, I'd say, is a really tough thing for a player to do because, you know, people know you and they expect this out of you. And I think it's a hard decision for Coach Miller to even make the offer to take an in-town guy, because if he doesn't make it, doesn't play, you know, you get some negative reflections like that. So, you know, I just said make those lists and then see which one stands out, the positives, which one's the negatives. There's just too many negatives. I need to go this place. So your original question, I think it's difficult to go in your hometown and play. But, you know, Chris Lawson did it. Jordy Hulls did it. You know, we had Johnny Jaeger out there, came and went on as a walk-on out there. You know, we've had some different people. So I think, you know, it can be done. It's just how things work out for you, I assume. You know, if you get a play and if you have success, then it'll be a great move if you go there. If you don't have success and you don't get a play, then it may not be a great move. If you went to Stanford, if you go to Stanford, then, you know, you're far enough away that maybe there's not as much pressure on you. So I don't know. It's a tough decision for a kid when you're, you know, a 4.4 student and you're looking academically and you're looking athletically. You know, he had to turn down a bunch of people, and I don't know how he came down to these two decisions, and it's been pretty much his parents and him, and I'm just along for the ride for one more year.
J.R.
Holmes. And then maybe I'll get seats with Coach Shannon or his basket for Romeo playing, so I'll get some better seats when I go out to IU.
J.R. Holmes of Bloomington South. Coach, I think it's the first day of school at Bloomington South, so as the coach and the athletic director, I know you're very busy today. And, again, I really appreciate you taking a few minutes out to talk and brag on your player, Anthony Lille, a bit in advance of his college announcement on Friday. Look forward to the season and seeing you guys, and I'm sure we'll talk again very soon.
Well, tell Coach Shannon to take it easy on us. He's about to drive me out of coaching, beat me up so much.
I'll relay the message. Maybe he's listening at New Albany right now, but he's okay. Probably hard at work teaching. You know him.
Well,
so.
I'm sure he's hard at it too, yeah.
Coach, thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Absolutely. J.R. Holmes of Bloomington South, a legendary coach in our state, and his player, Anthony Leal, will make a decision on Friday. That's going to wrap things up for this Friday show. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm back with you Thursday at 11 o'clock. And don't forget our high school football media day Thursday night at 6 o'clock right here on the Big X Sports Radio.